Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Today's episode will feature heavily on the NBA and what is in the future since the finals ended a couple weeks ago. Today we'll focus on the up-and-coming news within certain teams and players. I'm excited to get started, so let's get right into it. First, we have Russell Westbrook trade rumors. Five possible destinations for seemingly unmovable Rockets star. Westbrook's contract makes a trade extremely difficult. Russell Westbrook may want to be traded, but that's not exactly a request the Houston Rockets are in a position to oblige. Typically, when former MVPs hit the trading block, suitors line up around the block to make offers. That is not going to be the case for Westbrook. In fact, Westbrook might be the single most untradeable player ever to be openly shopped. Consider the following. Westbrook is currently owed $132.6 million over the next three seasons. In terms of raw dollars owed, that would make him the second most expensive player ever traded, narrowly trailing Blake Griffin, who was owed just north of $153 million when he was dealt to the Detroit Pistons in 2018. Griffin had more than 4 years remaining on his contract, though. Westbrook has three. The $44.2 million average he is owed annually would make him the most expensive per year contract ever dealt. Since its inception in 1984, the NBA's salary cap has increased in all but four seasons. The 2020 through 2021 season will be the fifth. Westbrook's contract includes 8% annual raises. The league's current cap plan calls for annual cap increases between 3 and 10%. There is a chance that Westbrook's contract represents an even higher percentage of the cap as time passes, and that says nothing of the cash crunch teams are facing during a pandemic. Since the NBA adopted the current three-team format, Westbrook would be the fourth oldest reigning all-NBA player ever to be traded at 32 years old. He trails Shaquille O'Neal in 2009, Dominique Wilkins in 1994, and Clyde Drexler in 1995, all of whom played in the NBA more forgiving of non-shooters. Westbrook's shooting deficiencies are so glaring that the Lakers chose not to guard him on the perimeter in the postseason, even after Houston abandoned the center position entirely to open space for him. It worked, and as Westbrook's athleticism continues to decline, it is likely to continue working. Westbrook reportedly wants to return to his role in Oklahoma City as a floor general, according to the Athletic's report. That poses a problem, because the sort of contending teams likelier to be interested in an older all-NBA player are largely contenders in the first place because they already have an elite floor general. The teams that don't are mostly rebuilding, and therefore don't have much use for the short-term value Westbrook would theoretically provide. Even if teams are interested in Westbrook, this is a buyer's market for teams that need ball handling. Chris Paul, Drew Holiday, and DeMar DeRozan are almost certainly available. Victor Oladipo might be as well. Kyle Lowry and Mike Conley aren't exactly available, but their teams would have a reason to consider flipping either for the right price. Fred VanVleet is a free agent. Eventually, the music is going to stop, and the teams that might have been interested in Westbrook will have filled their point guard seat. All of this paints a pretty grim picture. Westbrook is still a valuable player under the right circumstances right now. He is getting paid as if he will remain similarly valuable for the remainder of his contract, but his age and playing style suggests that probably won't be the case. Teams that are willing to bet against common sense will have no shortage of alternatives at his position. Westbrook might want to be traded, and Houston might be willing to trade him, but the two sides have to reckon with the ugly truth of Westbrook's place in the basketball landscape if they actually plan to find a deal. Right now, Russell Westbrook is a negative value asset. The best case scenario for Houston probably involves a team willing to take on Westbrook's contract, either into open cap space or by sending equally toxic contracts back to Houston. More realistically, teams are going to expect Houston to give something up just to take on Westbrook's deal. The Rockets aren't exactly in a position to do that, though. They currently have only one tradable first-round pick. They'd probably prefer to keep it. And despite all of this, a superstar is available. Teams are going to sniff around. There aren't many that make much sense, but these five are the likeliest to look past Westbrook's defects and roll the dice on his talent and resume. The Los Angeles Clippers. Most of the contenders can be rolled out quickly. The Celtics, Kemba Walker, Warriors, Stephen Curry, Nets, Kyrie Irving, Nuggets, Jamal Murray, and Jazz, Donovan Mitchell, already have super long-term league guards. And the Raptors and Heat wouldn't dare punt away 2021 free agency for Westbrook. The Lakers and 76ers need ball handling, but they need ball handling that can shoot. They are looking for supplements to LeBron James and Ben Simmons, respectively, not replacements. The Bucks can't afford another non-shooter alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo. It is an absolute non-starter. But the Clippers, they need a point guard. They just finished 28th in total passes per game and 22nd in assists. They're all in on the present, and Steve Ballmer can afford the tax payments Westbrook might incur. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George both returned to their Southern California roots after starting their careers elsewhere. Another Los Angeles native might appeal to Ballmer's interest in luring away Laker fans. The Clippers have plenty of mid-tier salaries they could use to make a deal work. Ironically, there is a version of this trade that can be built entirely around the players the Rockets once sent the Clippers in exchange for Chris Paul. Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams combined to make up $21.3 million in salary. We'd need another $11.8 million or so to get up to the legal threshold, 80% of Westbrook's salary. That's doable, though, a Montrezl Harrell sign-and-trade. Sign-and-trade deals must last 3 years, but only the first season needs to be guaranteed. The other CBA quirk that they'd have to contend with would be base year compensation, which, for trade purposes, allows the Clippers to count only 50% of Harrell's new salary as outgoing money for trade purposes. That's workable, though, and the Rockets would have to pinch pennies elsewhere to avoid the apron hard cap that a sign-and-trade triggers. But they're willing to take on Harrell for what would essentially amount to a one-year, $23.6 million deal, and this is legal. The Clippers could also close that gap with Ivica Zubac and Rodney Magruder, but that's nowhere near as funny. And this gives us a deal the Clippers could make, but should they? That's entirely subjective. It would be the end of their defense-first identity, and Westbrook hasn't been consistently effective on that end of the floor for years. He'd probably hurt their crunch-time offense as well. Who would you rather have taking shots at the end of games? Westbrook or Kawhi Leonard? History suggests that your preference doesn't matter. And Russ is controlling the ball at the end of games. The Lakers will welcome that opportunity to sag off Westbrook again in order to trap Leonard as I did James Harden. Let's take a quick break before we're back on more news about Russell Westbrook and where he's probably going to go on the NBA here on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff. Only on Penguin Radio.
The The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Voting is an essential part of our democracy, and democracy requires participation. And if I don't vote, someone else will, and I definitely do not want someone else deciding on laws that will affect me, my family, and my community. Voting is our civic duty, and civic duty is the rent we pay for living. So I hope everyone joins me in voting in every single election. For more resources on how to vote, visit www.eac.gov. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communications and Media Studies Department at the Dominican University of California.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA and Russell Westbrook here on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. So here's more news on Russell Westbrook and where he might go next season. The Clippers just had the 21st most efficient transition offense in basketball, and Westbrook helps with that, as I was saying before. He takes shot creation pressure off of Paul George, who could function as one of the most overqualified spot-up shooters in the NBA history on this roster. That's the real appeal here, the pure talent. A team with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook would probably be very, very good. With so many returning role players and the ability to add another through the taxpayer mid-level exception, the Clippers could have that core without sacrificing much in the way of depth. It's that loss of identity that makes this such a hard trade to stomach. Remember, the Clippers were championship favorites before the pandemic. They lost in a large part because of Harrell's decline following the death of his grandmother and subsequent absence from the bubble. Is that a really good reason to overhaul an entire roster and bet on a player that the Lakers just humiliated on the biggest stage? Honestly, probably not. But if a contender is going to take the plunge, it's going to be the Clippers. New York Knicks. You could argue that the Clippers should trade for Westbrook, but you can't argue that the Knicks should. If the goal is pursuing a championship, Westbrook is the single most harmful player in the NBA that the Knicks could add. His gargantuan salary would rob them of cap space for the next three seasons. That is especially important because those years represent New York's most flexible period. RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson are currently on rookie contracts. Three seasons from now, they'll be making market value, and the Knicks will have a much harder time generating space. There are veteran point guards that might help shepherd Barrett and Robinson into stardom. Chris Paul represents similar cap issues, but at least his track record with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander paints him as an effective mentor. Westbrook monopolizing the offense would do those youngsters no favors, and his lack of shooting would further cramp the court for them. If Westbrook could get them into championship contention, that might make these issues forgivable. But he just lost in the second round alongside Harden. The Knicks have no Harden-caliber running mate for him, and should one become available, they aren't exactly at the front of the line in terms of tradable assets. Adding Westbrook makes no sense. It's a modest short-term gain at an enormous long-term price. But if any team can be relied upon to act against its own self-interest, it is the Knicks. And sure enough, their interest has already been reported. The fact that they can absorb Westbrook's deal without sending a cent back to the Rockets makes them Houston's ideal trading partner. For their own sake, let's hope the Knicks find a more cost-effective way to fill their point guard hole. 3. The Orlando Magic. The Magic have been treading water for the better part of a decade. Bad enough to miss the playoffs, good enough never to win the lottery. If if nothing else, Westbrook is a change of pace. He's an elite ball handler on a team that has started DJ Augustin at point guard for the past several seasons. He'd sell tickets at one of the few arenas that will probably end up allowing a meaningful amount of fans this season. Is it second team building? Probably not. But there's something to be said for relevance, which the Magic haven't had since trading Dwight Howard. The issue they'll encounter here is that most of their salary is too good to be traded as mere ballast. Yes, the Rockets would probably love Nikola Vucevic, Aaron Gordon, or Evan Fournier, but the Magic would presumably want to keep those players alongside Westbrook. A more realistic package would feature the trio of Terrence Ross, Al-Farouq Aminu, and Markelle Fultz, which squeaks past the 80% threshold at around $35 million combined. The Magic would probably ask Houston to take back Kem Birch as well. At present, they are around $16 million beneath the luxury tax line and would prefer avoiding it. In that vein, they'd probably explore an extension with Fournier, who has a player option but could opt out and accept a lower initial salary in exchange for long-term security. This would give Orlando a bit of room to try to use some of the mid-level exception on its bench. Would either team be particularly excited about such a deal? Probably not. Adding Westbrook to that Vucevic-Gordon-Fournier trio probably yields only a low seed in a suddenly competitive Eastern Conference, especially with Jonathan Isaac recovering from a torn ACL. Those places aren't helping Houston hold on to the number 5 seed in the brutal West. But it gets Westbrook's contract off their books and allows him to run a team again. If those are the two goals, then this deal works. Number 4. The Washington Wizards. Behold, the one contract in basketball worse than Westbrook's. A Westbrook for John Wall swap helps Washington's case in retaining Bradley Beal. That combination, along with a re-signed Davis Bertans and plenty of supplementary shooting, would at least produce one of the NBA's better offenses. Wall might do the same, but he's a riskier bet given his health. He makes absolutely no sense in Houston for the same reasons Westbrook didn't. He needs the ball, and he can't shoot. But truthfully, this is the sort of trade the Rockets wouldn't make for Harden's sake. They make it as a step toward their post-Harden future. Wall, at his peak, was amongst the best playmakers in basketball. He has utility as a grown-up for youngsters to develop around. It's unlikely that the Rockets would probably like to maintain the illusion of post-Westbrook contention. At least if they deal him for some shooters, they can argue they're getting back to their pre-Chris Paul roots by entrusting the entire offense to Harden. But the Wizards are one of the few teams likely to have real interest in Westbrook. And Wall's contract is so toxic that they might actually have to give the Rockets an asset to make this sort of trade. If the Rockets have to have a rebuild in mind, the Wizards should be on their radar. Last, but finally not least, the San Antonio Spurs. Let's call this a going-away present for Greg Popovich. The Spurs are up to something. Rumors surrounding LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan have grown louder of late. Westbrook doesn't necessarily fit the rebuilding bill most expected following an impressive bubble showing from their young players. But he gives Popovich a chance to make his way back into the playoffs before he calls it quits. DeRozan's expiring contract is the matching salary here, along with at least one other role player. On first glance, he doesn't make much sense in Houston given his three-point phobia and defensive woes. But having one mid-range shooter in a sea of long-distance marksmen has its benefits. Paul proved that when he played for the Rockets, a Harden-DeRozan pairing probably isn't competing for a championship. but DeRozan's contract expires after this season, so there's no real harm in taking him on as an apparent last gasp at winning with Harden. The steal wouldn't necessarily be advisable for the Spurs. DeJounte Murray, Derek White, and Lonnie Walker are ready for more responsibility. Westbrook guarantees him less, but pairing him with Aldridge makes sense on paper. Maybe the Spurs could package some of their young talent for a third major piece. At this point, we're reaching. There just aren't that many teams that make sense for Westbrook. The Spurs do if you squint. Let's take another quick break before we are back with more on the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio. It only takes 3 seconds to put on your seatbelt every time you get into a car, and it just might save your life. Car accidents are unavoidable because they are, in fact, accidents. But the choice you make to put on your seatbelt every time you get in the car can change the outcome of a potential accident. Make sure you and your loved ones buckle up every time and help save lives.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Now, we just finished talking about what Russell Westbrook might or might not do and what teams he might be exploring. We got some more news here. At a crossroads, what do the Rockets do with James Harden and Russell Westbrook? Apparently, the transition to a post-Maury and post-D'Antoni world isn't going so smoothly. Publicly, the Houston Rockets have delivered a consistent message. Everything is fine, we're not blowing up the team, and we're excited about the offseason. Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni are gone, but James Harden is still here, and we intend to contend for a championship. Privately, though, Houston does not appear to be all that harmonious. While Harden remains committed to the Rockets, according to the Athletic's Shams Charania and Kelly Eco, Russell Westbrook reportedly wants to be traded. The news follows a report by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Tim McMahon that Harden and Westbrook have let the front office know that they're concerned about where the franchise is going. On ESPN's The Jump, analyst Kendrick Perkins said that Harden hasn't answered phone calls from ownership, the front office, or new coach Steven Silas for about 2 weeks. None of this should be a shock. Harden and Westbrook wanted to team up last summer, but they were a predictably tricky fit in the half court, which forced the front office to get rid of Clint Capella. As encouraging as it was to hear Silas talk about making the team less predictable, I couldn't write about that without acknowledging the obvious. Strategic tweaks don't matter unless Harden gives Silas and new general manager Raphael Stone a chance. Harden is 31 years old and has lived through several reinventions with the Rockets. In 8 seasons, his pick-and-roll partner went from Omar Asik to Dwight Howard to Capella to nobody. He has shared the backcourt with Jeremy Lin, Patrick Beverley, Ty Lawson, Chris Paul, and Westbrook. He became a star under Kevin McHale and a normal point guard under Mike D'Antoni, changing the game with his isolations and step-back threes. The Rockets were good enough to win the 2018 title, but after a series of untimely injuries and win-now transactions, they are a fringe contender at best, without young players or picks that can be cashed in for veteran help. According to ESPN, both Harden and Westbrook were on board with hiring Silas, and Harden has been talking to the front office about moves it can make to strengthen its roster. This conflicts with Perkins' comments. The former NBA center who played with James Harden in Oklahoma City said on The Jump that Harden and Westbrook don't feel included in Houston's decision-making process. And they wanted the team to hire Tyronn Lue as coach, and they wanted a say in the GM search, according to Perkins. When Morey stepped down, the Rockets immediately promoted Stone. Since acquiring Harden from the Thunder in 2012, Morey built every iteration of the team around the bearded maestro. If Harden is indeed locked in this season, Stone could potentially move Westbrook and bring back a group that fits around him more cleanly. With 3 years and more than $132 million left on his contract, though, it would be a miracle to do that without dramatically lowering the Rockets' short-term ceiling. In an interview with Houston Chronicle, Stone said Houston would be very aggressive in terms of adding talent, and he has all but guaranteed that it would have a more traditional center in its rotation next season. Beyond the mid-level exception, though, the Rockets don't have many tools at their disposal. Daniel House surely has trade value, but is he worth more to any other team than he is to this one? Trading Eric Gordon now would be selling extremely low, and his playmaking is even more crucial if Westbrook is out of the picture. Ideally, Harden would help the Rockets recruit players who might take the MLE or a minimum contract. Maybe that can still happen. But it's alarming that these reports came out a week before the draft. Shortly before that, the moratorium on transactions will be lifted, and on November 20th, free agency will officially begin. The compressed calendar means a training camp is less than 3 weeks away. Welcome to the job, Rafael Stone. One way or another, Houston must quickly figure out what its options are with Westbrook, where exactly it stands with Harden, and how to best approach free agency. On The Jump, ESPN's Zach Lowe said that the Rockets are trying to remain calm, but this was before the Westbrook news was reported. As long as Harden doesn't ask for a trade, it's rational to give it another go with him next season, provided that they believe in two things: that such a request isn't inevitable, and that trading their franchise player isn't in their long-term best interests anyway. Next, we got the NBA mock draft of 2020. James Wiseman moves up, pick number two, to Warriors, behind number one pick LaMelo Ball. The Memphis big man jumped up a spot in Gary Parish's latest NBA draft projection. Believe it or not, the 2020 NBA draft is finally almost here. It'll be conducted virtually on Wednesday. It'll be 5 months later than initially planned, so nothing is normal about it. But hooray, hooray, it is finally almost here. And yet, there's still no consensus at the top. Many franchises believe LaMelo Ball is the best prospect available. Others insist it's James Wiseman. Some are certain it's Anthony Edwards. So the top three or four picks in this draft could reasonably go in any order. The following is my latest stab on how things can unfold. LaMelo Ball. None of the players in contention for the top spot are perfect fits in Minnesota, so the Timberwolves should just take the best prospect available. And in my mind, that player is LaMelo Ball, the 6'7 point guard who sees things and makes plays in ways most prospects his age cannot. James Wiseman. I've gone back and forth on whether the Warriors should and will select Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman, if they even execute this pick. For now, I'm going with Wiseman, who's a physical specimen who also fills an obvious need. Anthony Edwards. If you're the Hornets, you're thrilled the person some have labeled the best prospect in this draft falls to you at number three. Anthony Edwards has an NBA-ready body and should be able to add scoring immediately. Obi Toppin is a former zero-star recruit who became the National Player of the Year at Dayton. I'd personally make him the favorite to be a Rookie of the Year while helping Billy Donovan establish a culture that eventually brings the Bulls back to respectability. Denny Adija. The Cavaliers would likely be thrilled if Denny Adija were available at number 5. The 6'9 forward is a great playmaker who is widely regarded as this draft's best international prospect. Tyrese Haliburton is a guard with size who can really shoot it. He'd be perfect in Atlanta because he can play behind Trae Young or right beside him as a 6'5 shooter. Isaac Okoro is an elite defender who impacts winning in a variety of ways. If he develops offensively, the potential for stardom exists on the Detroit Pistons. Let's take one more quick break before we're back on more draft news in the NBA on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio.
The following PSA is brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio.
Hey, think twice before you litter. Even a small piece of trash can endanger the beautiful animals in our communities. So don't litter. Take responsibility and help the environment. Help save some animals and keep the world clean. It only takes a few seconds to find the trash can and throw away that candy wrapper. So be a role model and don't litter. This PSA has been brought to you by the DJs at Penguin Radio and the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California.
And we're back with more talk about the NBA and draft news on Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. The next draft pick we'll focus on is Killian Hayes. Some front offices have Killian Hayes as a possible top 5 pick, and others have him outside of the top 10. Whether he's worthy of being selected this high will ultimately come down to whether his three-point shot develops to the point where he's a reliable shooter as a league guard playing next to RJ Barrett. Next, we got Onyeka Okongwu. Onyeka Okongwu is a versatile front court player who shot 61.6% from the field in his one season at USC. It's possible he could go in on the top 5, but if he slips this far, the Wizards should enthusiastically select him. Next, we have Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey developed in 2 years at Villanova into a wing with size who shot 45.1% from 3 as a sophomore. His ability to guard multiple positions and make open jumpers could help the Suns make the playoff push they appear ready to make. Devin Vassell made 41.7% of his three-point attempts over the past 2 seasons at Florida State. He's a wing with size who could, as a rookie, help the Spurs return to the postseason. Aaron Naismith. The Kings are a talented team, but just average from beyond the arc. So adding Aaron Naismith, arguably the best shooter available in the draft, would provide instant improvement. Next, we have Kira Lewis Jr. The Pelicans reportedly shopping Jrue Holiday could make taking a point guard a priority in the lottery. Kira Lewis made 48.8% of his three-point attempts in Alabama's final 7 games, which suggests he could be the type of backcourt shooter New Orleans needs to properly build around Zion Williamson. Next, we got Cole Anthony. The Celtics need point guard depth, especially with Kemba Walker being a 30-year-old who is coming off a disappointing postseason. Cole Anthony, once considered a likely top 5 pick, could provide real scoring off the bench as a rookie and eventually develop into a starter. Next, we got Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams only shot 32% from the three-point range in his one season at Florida State, but still projects as an interesting prospect on the wing. He'd be a total upside selection for Orlando. RJ Hampton. The Blazers need to add backcourt depth to decrease the workload for Damian Lillard and C.A. McCollum. RJ Hampton makes a lot of sense because of his ability to play either guard position. Next, we have Precious Achiuwa. Reasonable minds can disagree on whether Precious Achiuwa will develop into an offensive threat or forever be little more than a high-energy big who plays center in small-big lineups. But his athleticism, productivity at Memphis, and ability to guard multiple positions are enough to make him worthy at any pick at this point in the draft. Next, we have Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey was inconsistent and mostly underwhelming in his one season at Kentucky, but most still believe he's talented enough combo guard who will still be able to score in the NBA. Next, we have Jalen Smith. The Nets already have two stars in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. The next step is getting the proper pieces around them. And a big who can stretch the floor like Jalen Smith is a type of center who could work well with the future of Hall of Famers who are trying to win big in Brooklyn now. Next, we have Trey Jones. The Heat could use a backup point guard who could eventually replace Goran Dragic in the starting lineup. Trey Jones, a tenacious defender who shot 36.1 from beyond the arc as a sophomore at Duke, is the best available here. Next, we have Théo Maledon. So the Sixers are no longer committed to playing Ben Simmons at point guard, and that makes Théo Maledon a sensible option because he's a skilled primary ball handler with plenty of room to grow. Next, we have Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart was perhaps the only bright spot in Washington's disappointing season. He's an undersized center, but one who figures to be productive thanks to a good motor and intriguing mind skill set. Next, we have Josh Green. Josh Green remains a work in progress, as he's not really a reliable playmaker yet. But the 6'6 wing is a high-level athlete who definitely has the potential to develop into someone worthy of being selected in the 20s. Next, Malachi Flynn. Flynn isn't as tall as anybody would like or an explosive athlete, but he's a great run-your-team point guard who shot 37.3 from the three-point range last season at San Diego State. Next, we got Jaden McDaniels. Oklahoma City is rebuilding and in possession of so many future first-round picks that it can afford to take a flyer on somebody like Jaden McDaniels. The 6'9 forward was disappointing in his one season at Washington, but still possesses the natural talent that intrigues front offices. Next, Leandro Balmero. The Celtics have three first-round picks and barely any room on the roster, so Leandro Balmero is an obvious possibility because he's already committed to playing in Barcelona next season. Next, we got Desmond Bain. The Knicks need to add shooting, and Desmond Bain is an accomplished shooter. The 6'6 guard made 44.2% of his three-point shots last season at TCU. Cassius Winston. The Lakers should be targeting somebody who can help them repeat as champions. Cassius Winston would be perfect because he could provide depth at the point guard position in the form of somebody who made 43% of the 602 three-pointers he attempted in 4 years at Michigan State. Nico Mannion. Fred VanVleet is an unrestricted free agent who could leave Toronto, which might make selecting a point guard a priority with the 29th pick. At this point in this mock draft, the best available is Arizona's Nico Mannion. Next, we got Vernon Carey Jr. The Celtics need to upgrade in the middle, and Vernon Carey could become that in time. He's more of a traditional center than a modern front court player, but he was Duke's best player last season and worth a serious look this late in the first round. So that was a look at the first round, and the second round is kind of like the first, as it has some big names and big teams that need players. But next, we got five big-name trade targets for the 76ers over the offseason that include James Harden and Chris Paul. We'll shortly go over the new president, Daryl Morey, that could be aggressive in looking to improve Philadelphia's roster over the offseason. After an extremely underwhelming 2019-20 campaign, the Philadelphia 76ers didn't sit still. And shortly after the season ended, they fired coach Brett Brown and replaced him with Doc Rivers. A few weeks later, they added Daryl Morey as the new president of basketball operations after he parted ways with the Rockets. Now, with Morey calling the shots, the Sixers likely wouldn't stand pat when it comes to the roster either. Here's a look at some names and potential trade targets for Philadelphia. First, we got James Harden, who averaged 34.4 points per game, 7.4 assists per game, and 1.74 steals per game, and 4.443 3-points per game. Next, we got Chris Paul, who averaged 17.7 points per game, 6.8 assists per game, 1.56 steals per game, and 1.6 3-pointers per game. Next, Victor Oladipo, who averaged 13.8 points per game, 3 assists per game, 0.85 steals per game, and 1.615 3-pointers per game. Next, we got Drew Holiday, who averaged 19.6 points per game, 6.9 assists per game, 1.6 steals per game, and 2.091 3-pointers per game. Last but not least, we have Buddy Hield, who averaged 19.8 points per game, 3.8 assists per game, 0.94 steals per game, and 3.813 3-pointers per game. And that's all the time we have on this week's episode of Go Sports Crazy with your host, DJ Takeoff, only on Penguin Radio. Stay tuned for more on next week's show. I'm excited to get to it and talk more sports. Thanks for listening.